This week's presenting and sponsoring theme of this podcast is once again the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. The Ohio Toy and Comic Show takes place on Sunday, July 23rd at the Fairborn Dayton Holiday Inn, right across the street from Wright State University. Doors open at 10 a.m. and admission is only $2 for adults. Kids 12 and under are free. They'll have artists, vendors, cosplayers, and hourly door prizes. Plus, you get a chance to meet me and Johnny at the infamous podcast table. We'll have shirts for sale and other great giveaways. Find out more information about the guest list and vendors and who all will be at the Ohio Toy and Comic Show at www.ohiotoyandcomicshow.com, or you can find them on Facebook. See you at the show. Hey, welcome to episode 103 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we are talking GLOW, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. I loved the way he announced that in the finale.
Oh.
with Chris Lowell.
Yeah.
Bash, if you will. All right. So we're going to talk about GLOW, obviously.
Yeah.
Since we just announced it. And if you get a chance, go look at Johnny's awesome banner that he put together of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling from Netflix.
Thanks, Netflix.
Thank you. But before that, we have some news bites. And then I have a quick review of Baby Driver,
which
I forgot to put in the
non-spoiler
review for sure, because you haven't seen it.
Yep.
All right. So the first things first is... Doug Liman, the director extraordinaire of such movies as Swingers and Edge of Tomorrow, and the first Jumper movie, Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
He had a...
I don't think he's remembered for like Swingers or Edge of Tomorrow. He's remembered for Bourne.
I guess, but like Swingers is the movie that like put him on the map.
Yeah.
So that's what I always think of first with him. But
I think of the first Bourne movie.
Yeah.
Because it actually was good.
It was actually good. God, the last one, they should have just called it Jason Boring.
I watched it, but I don't remember it that well.
That's how bad it is. Anyway, the Jumper TV series. It's called Impulse. Gets picked up by YouTube Red, which is interesting.
Right.
And Impulse is the third book in the Jumper series. So... yeah, so this will be interesting. It's
the third book, but they never did the second book.
The first movie had stuff from both. The second book, apparently. I was telling you before I started reading the first book after I saw the movie, and it was just so bad. Like, the writing was bad.
Oh, really?
The story's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of like the... the weird focus like George R. R. Martin has on things.
Oh, okay.
That's what that guy had, just not as successful.
Yeah.
I
thought the movie was well done. It's one of my favorite Hayden Christensen
movies. I really like the movie. I love Hayden Christensen's. Probably my favorite Hayden Christensen movie is Takers.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that movie's just badass. Yeah. And he's awesome in that. Probably my second favorite is The Phantom Menace.
He's not in the film.
That was a joke.
Jackass.
All right. So this one is...
Thinking of him.
Oh,
An article about him recently. I forget who his... not wife, but his girlfriend. Wife. She's on that show, Heart of Dixie or whatever.
Rachel Bilson?
Yeah, Rachel Bilson.
From his Jumper.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So... they have a daughter.
Oh, okay.
Who's like, I think, 3 or 4 years old now.
Okay.
And I was reading an article that was pretty funny where they said they're not going to tell her that her dad is Darth Vader.
Yeah, that would be kind of rough.
Because they said that they don't want kids on the playground to be intimidated because her dad is Darth Vader. They said eventually they'll tell her, but they said right now they're not going to tell her.
Well, when she sees Star Wars, you know, she'll figure it out. But. Okay, so this one is based on a character named Scent.
Okay.
And the character's father was kidnapped and tortured by shadowy government agencies to gain control of his powers. It says here, Scent has a secret. She lives in isolation with her parents.
Oh, she's a girl.
Yeah. Okay. Hiding from people who took her father captive and tortured him to gain control over his ability to teleport and from the government agencies who want to use his talent. Scent has seen the world, but only from the safety of her parents' arms. She's teleported more than anyone on Earth except for her mother and father, but she's never been able to do it herself. Her life has life has never been in danger. Until the day when she went snowboarding without permission and triggered an avalanche. When the snow and ice thundered down, she suddenly found herself in her own bedroom. That was the first time. So, I mean, it's you know.
So, this is, that was, that's the book.
That's the book, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what the TV series is going to be. So, I mean, it sounds a lot like.
The character name in the TV series is Henry? That's what it says in the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're changing.
Well, Henry might be the dad.
Oh, okay. No, it says 16-year-old named Henry.
Okay. Yeah, so I...
She always felt out of place in her small town. With her newly discovered power,
okay, so she's a girl.
Escape whenever she pleases.
So the girl's name is Henry.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a typo.
I don't know. I wonder if Samuel Jackson will show up.
I don't know. He's
he didn't die.
That's true. He did not die.
Diane Lane.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome cool. If she showed up.
Hayden Christensen,
he could show up. Well, yeah, sure. So Kristen Stewart,
Jamie.
Kristen Stewart played his sister.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jamie, what's her name? What's his name? Jamie Bell could show up
as the Thing.
All right, so I find this interesting, right? Because this is kind of a hardcore sci-fi action type thing.
Sure,
it's going to be effects heavy. And it's picked up by YouTube Red, which, you know, has been around for a little over a year now. It's $9.99. It's, you get access to these exclusive creators and content like this.
Right.
And then you get YouTube without commercials. If you have the
app
on. Yeah.
If you pay $9.99, you get it without the.
You can like run it on your phone and listen. You know, so like,
oh, okay.
You know how like if you're watching on your phone and you turn it off, the video stops. Well, that's not the case anymore.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, you have access then to YouTube Music, which is their music app.
Okay.
Which, you know, honestly, you know, I've kind of been thinking about ditching Spotify and doing YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So
does it tie into the what is it, Vevo or whatever, that a lot of the musicians are?
Well, yeah, because if it's a YouTube channel,
okay.
You know, that's how that works. I don't know. What do you think? Would you watch this? Would you pay $9.99 to get access to this?
Well, with the incentive of blocking commercials, because I watch a lot of vloggers and that. Yeah, it'd probably be worth it.
I'm curious if this is
how many episodes.
Well, it didn't say. Right? Yeah. And I was going to say, I'm curious.
This is one I'd be more interested in paying for than CBS All Access.
Yeah. Well, because CBS All Access, you only get the crappy CBS shows.
JAG wasn't crappy.
Is JAG on there?
I don't know.
Oh.
That'd be good to check out, though.
Yeah.
NCIS, the first few seasons.
Yeah, I never got. I you know, I watched the first couple seasons of CSI.
Those weren't bad either.
You're right, but then it kind of got crazy.
When people started leaving for no reason, like, besides they just weren't wanting, they were wanting more money.
Right. The contract disputes kind of.
Thinking of that, did you see the Hawaii Five-0 thing?
No.
Where Daniel Day Kim and Grace Park aren't coming back?
Oh no! I've never watched the show.
So. Oh well, they're not coming back because they couldn't equal out their pay to what
Scott Conn
and O'Loughlin make.
Huh? Interesting.
I'm like, why not?
Aren't they main characters?
Yeah, they were like there at the beginning.
So
they're going to explain where they are.
They ran off together.
That means Grace Park probably will be showing up at conventions more because I haven't met her yet. So
cool.
Her and Katie Sackhoff, I think, are two of the only Galactica people I haven't met. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So one of the things I find interesting about this and that I'm curious about is, will it be a half hour? Will it be
I'm sure this
a whole bunch
of
10-minute episodes? Will it be, you know?
I don't think they'll do
that. Will it be 50-minute, you know?
They'll probably do like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then 45 minutes.
Okay.
Is what I would guess. Because they still have to sell it on Blu-ray DVD. I mean, eventually these shows do go to Blu-ray DVD, so it's like...
Well, I don't know. I mean, YouTube Red's relatively new, so they haven't yet.
I mean, this would be the thing that would do it, though.
Yeah. So,
I mean, unlike other stuff that's been on YouTube Red, this has a name attached to it.
Right.
Doug Liman is a
name. Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff on YouTube Red, the names that are attached to it are YouTubers.
Right.
And that's,
what I'm saying. No insult to them whatsoever, but yeah.
But this is the first, like, kind of, right. I'm using air quotes here, mainstream.
Well, and this is something where Doug Liman doesn't own it. YouTube vloggers, YouTube movie makers own their property. You know, they get money from people in that. This is something that's owned by the studio. So if the studio wants to put a box set out, they will.
Yep. Cool. All right.
Which is probably the way that Star Trek Discovery will be watched.
You're not just going to do a free trial with a different email address and just...
Oh, God. That would be too much trouble.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, this is interesting. I'll probably check it out at some point.
Yeah.
Because you can do the free one-week trial of YouTube Red.
Oh, okay.
So I'll probably wait until it's all done and try it out. That, like, this will be the first thing. And, you know, to be honest, like, I tried when, like, I was telling you, I was thinking about moving to Spotify to YouTube.
Right.
I pay whatever. I do the family plan now, so we all three can use Spotify.
Right.
But that all started because I got 3 months for 99 cents. It's like, oh, man, this is great. I love it.
So, yeah, it's all about the deals. I mean, wherever the deals are, and it's wherever the convenience is, too. I mean, the fact that I have Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, and HBO Now is just because it's the convenience of what you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything has the same things on their channel. Like I said, CBS All Access doesn't inspire me to get it.
Right.
Whereas, like, with Hulu, it was like, oh, I can watch this. And then I started watching This Is Us, and I'm like,
I used Hulu for a while,
and I was just like, something happened, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah. And then HBO Now, it was just the fact that I felt cheated.
Well, and they made a change to that, too. I don't know if you recently saw it.
I didn't.
But the same price, but... All right.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same price, but the movies, there weren't all the movies on the Amazon Prime app that there are on the HBO Now app.
Okay.
It's the same reason why I wouldn't go through Amazon to do Showtime or Stars. I mean, I would just go straight to them.
Their own apps.
And Stars I have, so it's like, why even bother?
Hmm.
If I was going to say, discontinue that DirecTV. But, you know,
cool.
We still watch other things, so.
Yeah. All right, so the next thing is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Collider put out this great video explaining the deal.
Right.
And it's pretty complicated.
It's all legal stuff, so it is complicated.
But the thing is so, like...
I mean, you pulled up a page that I probably won't read.
So... So I'm just talking about the usage, right? I'm not even talking about the money or anything like that.
Who cares about the money?
Because the thing is Sony's moving forward with a Spider-Man universe with Venom and that kind of stuff. But you're not going to see Tom Holland, Spider-Man, in any of those movies.
Oh.
Because
shucks.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man is on loan to Marvel, essentially.
Yeah.
And Tom Holland is signed up for 5 films.
Sure.
So that means that's Civil War, Spider-Man Homecoming, the 2 Infinity Wars, and then one other movie.
Right.
Which will be the Spider-Man Homecoming sequel, I assume.
Yeah.
But the thing is so he won't be showing up in the Venom movie or any of those, you know, quote-unquote Venomverse.
Yeah.
Because if he does... then that means Venom is canon in the MCU.
Okay.
And the way the MCU is planned out, there's not space for this fly-by-night, like, hey, let's just rush a movie out.
Sure.
Which I think is great that Marvel has the foresight to see this. But I think what's going to happen is it's going to hurt the fans because they're going to look and be like, hey, wait, why aren't we seeing this amazing Peter Parker?
Sony's screwing themselves.
Right. So...
I mean, the whole thing, like, you know... patience would pay off because you got 5 movies.
Yeah.
So after the 5th movie, why wouldn't you just have Tom Holland come over to your universe? He's already the Spider-Man.
Well, and work with Marvel proper to plan out.
Like, well, it's just an infinity thing.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could use infinity. You seriously, this is the thing. Because they're just greedy. They can't figure out how to let go of things. like I said, Fox could keep X-Men because they're doing a decent job. Yeah. Fantastic Four, let it go.
Right.
Just let it go. Take Sean Connery's advice from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and just let it go.
Let it go, Junior.
Let it go, Junior.
Who's really clamoring for a Fantastic Four movie?
If it was in the proper Marvel universe, I would.
Yeah, but the comics in the proper Marvel universe, and nobody's clamoring for that.
Well, that's
to come
because
back.
Marvel's pulling their shit that they're pulling with the X-Men.
Yeah,
where
the,
it's like
the book didn't sell before they. That's why
they're
they
still
canceled,
fans. Though.
So I get it. Yeah, I understand. I'm a Fantastic Four comic book fan.
But I'm like, you know,
I was, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
The Kree Skrull War. Mm-hmm. You could do, you know, Secret War.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, all of those.
Well, the whole Secret Invasion.
Yeah, Secret Invasion
would have to be done.
Yeah,
you know that's what Marvel should be building to post Infinity War.
Yeah, if they had the Fantastic Four,
and that's yeah,
because they can't use the Skrulls.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they can't use Galactus. Mm-hmm. They can't use Annihilus. They can't use Surfer.
And getting Annihilus back helps with Guardians.
Yeah.
Because Peter Quill defeated Annihilus. And,
right.
You know, it's.
Well,
just one
that's
of those
what I'm
spoilers.
Like. You can use the Annihilation yeah. story. I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
So, yeah. I don't
know. It would
just
open
really...
up the galactic part of the universe that they're not using because whoever 20th Century Fox hires can't put a Fantastic Four movie together because they're doing a child friendly Fantastic Four movie now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so there's a link to the video in the show notes for this. It's from Collider. It's well worth a watch. It's only like 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, but it was definitely an interesting thing. All right, and then our last little news bite is just kind of a quickie one. Comic-Con has decided to remain in San Diego.
Because they can't call themselves a San Diego Comic-Con if they leave San Diego.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's Comic-Con International.
San Diego Comic-Con International.
You know, I'm honestly surprised they haven't started, you know, Poughkeepsie Comic-Con International and that kind of stuff.
Well, that's where they're going and suing everybody else for the Comic-Con name, even though legitimately they can't do that.
Yeah. So they're going to stay at the San Diego Convention Center through 2021.
Jeez, it's so small.
Now, have you ever been? No. You've never been out to San Diego. That's right. You've never been on a plane. So,
I've been on a plane, just not a jet.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been on little Cessna planes.
Yeah.
I've never been in a jet.
Those are fun. So anyway, yeah, so it's just kind of a little bit of consistency.
No, I just know that people complain about the size, and it's like, you know, if San Diego wants to keep it there, they should have made a deal where it's like, build us our own venue.
Well, here's the thing. Is
that you can rent out the rest of the year.
The Chargers are gone.
So the stadium's just sitting there,
right? Stadium's empty, right? Do part of it outdoors.
Well, what if it rains?
It's San Diego, and it apparently never rains.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. From what I understand, San Diego has a lot of
temperate
weather.
They just get earthquakes.
Yeah.
No,
I think that's more north.
I mean, that's a good idea, or even spend the money and put a dome on there and just use that as the convention center. Yeah.
You could add a dome. And
unless they're trying to get another team.
The next team's going to be Las Vegas. So
Las Vegas is going to have a football team?
Most likely. Which is ridiculous.
That would be cool, but it's damn hot out there.
Well, and you think about the gambling implications and, you know, all that fun stuff.
That's fine. Gambling and sports have been together forever.
All right. So before we talk about Glow, what are you doing?
I just, it sounded like there was an echo.
Oh.
But there's not.
No.
No.
All right. So before we talk about Glow, I just want to do a quick Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Now, you haven't seen it yet.
No.
You're gonna
see
it.
I've seen the previews.
I've been listening to the soundtrack pretty much on repeat since coming out of the movie.
Yeah.
This and Logan are still like it's up there with Logan as far as favorite movies of 2017. I'm so very, very happy that Edgar Wright did not make Ant-Man now.
Okay.
Because this is the movie he made
instead of Ant-Man.
Instead
of Ant-Man, right.
And then we got Peyton Reed's version of Ant-Man, which I'm very, very fond of.
Yeah.
The cast is awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's a solid cast.
I want to see John Hamm play Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Just without any kind of spoilers. Just the villainy kind of crazy control.
Well, right. Yeah.
Just
psychopath. John Hamm should have played Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Like all the Superman talk for John Hamm. No. Lex Luthor.
I mean, you've never watched Mad Men, really.
Well, I watched the first like four episodes, right. And the only character's name I knew was Don Draper.
Right. That's the only character you need to know.
But I was just so bored with it.
In that first season, that's the only character you need to know.
Is it? Okay.
Don Draper.
I keep talking. Like, it's still in
the characters. Queue. The characters in that show develop over that first year. But Don Draper is the story.
Yeah.
Don Draper is a bad guy. Okay. I mean, that's why I said that he should have played Lex Luthor, because Don Draper to me was like a villain,
mm-hmm.
but he's also a good guy.
Ah.
So it's like, you know, there's the Two-Face implication there. He would make a good Two-Face too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't get over Connor from Angel.
Oh.
Vincent Cathartis.
Yeah. Carthar.
Carthar, whatever. Catharsis, whatever his last name is. Like, he's that
he
whiny.
He becomes an awesome. Like,
does he? Okay.
He's a jackass.
So, because I liked him in Time.
Yeah.
As Amanda Seyfried's dad.
Yeah.
which was great.
And he plays that kind of character.
Okay.
Like, the first year, yeah. He grows up as the show goes on.
I'll give it a shot.
Alison Brie, sure. In it?
Yeah, and I do love Alison Brie. But January no, so the kid that plays Baby, who is who's from the Allegiant or the Divergent movies, he was in The Fault in Our Stars.
Is he her brother?
He's her brother.
And in The Allegiant. Fault of Our Stars, he was her lover, but in Allegiant, he was her brother.
Correct.
Okay, that's who that is. That's I was trying to, you know, because I didn't look anything up, but I'm like, when I seen the preview, I'm like, this guy looks familiar.
He is the best part of the whole movie.
Oh, sure.
Which he's
the
lead.
Main character. Right?
The driving is awesome. The story is awesome. The whole love story thing. Kevin Spacey's great.
Is it Cinderella?
No. Oh, Cinderella. Yeah,
right?
Lily James.
Yeah, Lily James.
She's great. But yeah, you definitely have to see this movie.
Yeah.
And seeing it on the big screen is well worth it for the car chases.
For sure.
And the things that they do with cars in this movie, it makes you whimsical for the first Fast and Furious movie.
It's more realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the first Fast and Furious Italian Job.
Right.
The car chases.
Ronin. Like, Ronin. Yeah. It's that's what I.
Bullet.
Like, Bullet. Yeah, Bullet. I mean, Bullet and A French Connection are still the two greatest car chase movies of all time.
Yeah.
But there's
a car chase sequences because they're not.
Well, yeah.
And that's what people talk about. Yeah. But it's like those movies are great. But that Bullet car chase through San Francisco is like, you know, it makes you a little queasy.
Yeah. But the French Connection car chase is still best ever.
Yeah.
But the thing is there's a Mercedes that they use in the movie that had so many safety features that it almost made it impossible to use that particular car.
Oh, they had to take all the
features
out?
And they
out?
Like kind of had to jailbreak it. And then they called Mercedes and asked for the codes.
Yeah.
And Mercedes wouldn't give it to them to turn that stuff off. And it's like, oh, come on.
It makes sense, but it doesn't. But it's like, you know, because if you give it to them, they could use it on any Mercedes.
Well, yeah, probably.
Right.
But anyway.
But you can jailbreak pretty much any of that stuff.
So Baby Driver is definitely a 5 out of 5 on the stick shift.
Jamie Foxx is in it too.
Jamie Foxx is so good. I've really enjoyed Jamie Foxx a lot over the last couple years. And his character Bats is there's no acceptance there. He's great as Bats.
Okay.
Flea's really good in it.
Flea's in it?
Yeah, he's got a little part.
Okay.
He's good. John Barenthal has a little part in it.
Oh, okay.
And he's I laughed the entire time he was on
because he was such a badass. You know, it's like, that's what we need the Punisher to be. But yeah, so definitely go see it.
Does any of Edgar Wright's friends show up in it?
Not really. This is truly an American film for him.
Okay.
Which is, it's good. It's, you know, it's what it needs to be. It's a nice evolution in his filmmaking.
Sure.
Whereas he needs to keep doing these original, I wrote it, I created it, wrote it, I shot it.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see a superhero movie from him. We got a superhero movie from him, and it's great. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't need to be in that larger Marvel universe or that larger DC universe. Like, no, this is where he shines.
If they wanted him to do, like, a superhero movie, he would be ideal for, like, a Hellboy type, you know. He could do Hellboy. I mean, Scott Pilgrim is a good movie in that, and it's like, I could see him doing, like, a Hellboy.
Throw him into Invincible.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
Something that's not mainstream.
Right.
Image, Dark Horse, you know, Boom.
Thief of Thieves. That book, like, I think he would do well with that.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not super.
That would be a good John Hamm movie.
That would be good. Well, I mean, I think Renard is probably based on John Hamm in some ways. All right. Cool. You want to talk about Glow?
Sure.
Okay. So Glow came out on Netflix last Friday from
our
last episode. Yeah. It's only been out for like
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Sorry. Yeah. So 2 weeks ago. From when we're recording this. It came out on June 23rd.
Right, it'll be 3 weeks.
3 weeks as of when this goes live. So it's an American comedy drama television series that is executive produced by Jinji Cohen, who is from Weeds and Orange is the New Black and a bunch of other things. And Glow is the origin story of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling TV series.
Well, the fictionalized.
Well, fictionalized origin story. Thank you.
Yeah.
It stars Alison Brie, Betty Gilpin, Marc Maron, Chris Lowell, Ellen Wong. Speaking of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, she was Knives Chow, Fortune Cookie. This cast, as far as an ensemble goes, was so, they were so good together. Like, their chemistry was great from the beginning. But yeah, what did you think? What are your initial thoughts on the series?
I enjoyed it. I remember watching Glow when it was on.
How long did it take you to watch all 10 episodes?
2 days.
Okay.
3 days? 2 or 3 days.
So
it was all working around work schedule. Yeah.
So, I mean, this definitely proves that half-hour comedies are not dead.
Didn't fall asleep.
Not once.
And I watched it pretty much, like, right away when I could.
Cool.
So yeah.
It was, man, I can't get over, I just couldn't get over how much I enjoyed
this. Was it a half hour?
Yeah. There were a couple the pilot was like 44 minutes. Okay. And then the rest kind of,
should I say, I felt like it was long.
Came and went. Well, there was so much that they packed into every episode. So much character and heart and that kind of stuff. Did you have a favorite character?
Marc Maron's character,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Marc Maron was great. I did enjoy.
Well, I like Marc Maron, so.
Yeah. You know. I like Brittany Young's character, Carmen Wade, as Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
She was awesome. Alison Brie, man.
And where's Betty Gilpin from?
There's Jackie.
I've ever seen her.
Oh, okay. She was on. What else was she on? She was on a bunch.
Was she on a soap opera?
She's. I mean, kind of Nurse Jackie was a soap opera.
I never watched Nurse Jackie.
But. She's like a stage actress more than anything.
Okay.
So,
well, she was really good. I mean,
she was.
I really liked her, and yeah, the twist with her was like, whoa. I think I literally went, whoa.
Yeah. Tammy Dawson, who was the welfare queen.
Yeah.
She's a professional wrestler.
Oh, okay.
She's she was in TNA, and she was in WWE for a little bit.
Okay.
In TNA, she was known as Awesome Kong, and WWE, she was known as Karma.
Okay.
And she was set to have this huge run in WWE, right? And she won the belt. Like, it was a big deal that she came over into the women's division, and then she got pregnant, and she's never come back. And it wasn't a thing like, oh, you're pregnant, you're out of here. But
Come on, we know how the McMahon company is.
But I mean, she was like, for her size and everything,
right?
She was just dominant. Because she could move, she could do this, she could do that. But yeah. So you were talking about Mad Men earlier, right?
Yeah.
So Rich Sumner plays Mark.
Yeah.
Who plays Betty Gilpin's husband, who, spoiler, Alison Brie has an affair with in the first episode.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of funny if you think about that Mad Men connection.
Yeah. When I seen him, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a character that faded off on Mad Men.
Did he?
But yeah.
Okay.
Well, Alison Brie was just like, you know, showed up once in a while.
She
played Vincent Cassar's wife.
Wife, right. Okay.
And so, yeah, she shows up off and on throughout the series.
And then the girl that played Beirut, she's on Mr. Robot.
Oh, okay.
She's one of the hackers in the F Society, which was kind of
I've
cool.
seen her in other stuff, too.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it was, like I said,
there were some that were like recognizable, and then others where I'm like, never seen her on anything before.
So it's a pretty great cast. There's a lot of really cool, like just wrestling Easter eggs,
right?
That are in there. It kicks off with John Morrison, who was from WWE, as their trainer in the first episode.
Well, right. They were kind of trying to go off of the real story.
So in the real story, they were trained by one of the Guerreros.
Yeah. I can't remember which one.
And in this, behind the scenes, they were actually trained by Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
Well, Chavo Guerrero Jr.
Yeah. Well, and then the original one, Chavo Guerrero, was their trainer when they were first coming in.
Right.
And then, which one was it? I can't remember. Sam, maybe?
Yeah.
One of the ones that actually has an American name and not a
Hispanic
name, I think. They interview him in the documentary.
Yeah.
In
the Glow
documentary. But like he was their pretty much den mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that, so.
So, and they call the gym, it was Guerrero's.
Yeah.
Guerrero's gym, which was great. And then Kia Stevens, we already talked about. Steel Horse, that character. He's a wrestler named Alex Riley, who he's one of the more underrated recent wrestlers.
Oh, okay.
And he got let go recently, so that kind of sucks. Joey Ryan and Laura James were the Mr. Monopoly and Steel Horse's wife,
right?
And that was kind of a takeoff of the Million Dollar Man and Miss Elizabeth, that kind of stuff.
Just that part of the show was funny, just because of the like
the light bulb that went off in
Betty Gilpin's character realizing, it's a soap opera,
because
she had been
a soap
opera
star.
She goes, "I was a soap star. I can do that."
Yeah, and then one of the really cool things in the opening credits of the first episode. There's a wrestling move in the neon, and it was actually like taken from a match on NXT between two of the top female wrestlers right now, Sasha Banks and Bayley. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Okay, so
where was Brooke Hogan in there?
She was the lady renting out.
Okay, that's why she looks familiar. Yeah. I was like, who is that? I've seen her.
Her hair was all like
80s
out.
Yeah.
So that's a great segue. The show looked great.
Oh yeah,
it looked 80s. So late 80s, early 90s. The hair, the clothes, the cars, you know, just all of it.
The hotel.
Definitely the hotel.
I stayed in one of those hotels like that one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I have.
Conventions. You stay places.
Yeah.
You stay places that are weird sometimes.
Yeah. It's like going skiing. You stay at those kind of places, but it's winter, so you don't get to swim. But yeah, there were, like I said, there were so many really good little Easter eggs in there. And
so you watched this, and I told you that
I've watched it twice.
The documentary.
Right.
And you watched the documentary at this
point. I did watch the documentary.
Because I remembered the hotel thing, them talking about the hotel. They stayed at the Riviera.
Yeah,
like
they
stayed in Las Vegas,
where this one, they're in Pasadena, California.
Right. But like the stories with the hotel was infamous because they had to be in by certain times and all that type of stuff. So
the thing
I had remembered that.
And I thought it was funny, too, because the good wrestlers were only allowed to hang out with the good wrestlers, the bad wrestlers, and they had to call each other by their stage names.
Where the show ends, and you know, the show, you could tell that some of it was based off of what was in the documentary. Right. They second season is going to have to be that.
Yeah.
When they're
going to have to pair them off. Yeah.
Popular and good girls stay with the good girls and the bad girls stay with the bad girls. And I could see a lot more story there with that.
The drama and things like that. Well, but I'm friends with her and I want to hang out with her because we work together and, you know. The documentary was really good. And it's on Netflix and you should definitely watch it.
Yeah, if you watch the show at the end, like when mm-hmm. the show ends, one of the recommended things was the documentary. Yeah. Watch it. Because you will go, oh, yeah, that was in the show.
And I'd say watch the show first.
Yeah.
And then watch the documentary. Yeah.
I just watched the documentary years ago because
I remember
when I was younger watching that on Saturdays.
Yeah, it was in my queue to watch, and I just never gotten around to it. So this was a good reason, fun documentary,
but it's like watch the show, then watch the documentary mm-hmm. because they could build off of, like, if this was just a 4 or 5 year show, they literally could do it from what it's been in the first season to what you see at in the documentary with them older.
Yeah, I would love to see.
Like, the last season should be them, like, older mm-hmm. and the show being canceled and what happens to them afterwards.
Yeah, maybe like 3 or 4 episodes of, you know, the reunion.
Like, the last half of the season should be them, you know, getting back together for the reunion, showing what happens to people, because it's not happy. I mean, it's real life. So
one of the characters from the real life Glow, Victoria, was she was 3-time women's champ in the WWE.
Right.
So that would be cool to see Betty Gilpin's character, you know, go on to the WWE,
right,
and not Alison Brie. So, like, seeing Debbie Egan.
Well, yeah, because some of them actually became, like, actors after the show was over, and they've been on stuff. Some of them have worked behind the scenes in Hollywood, and some of them have had health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the health issues are kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, we don't have Matilda the Hun.
Right.
We don't have, I can't remember her name now, the one that Machu Picchu is based off of.
Mount Fuji.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have them as characters, but you still can use their stories for Machu Picchu and for, some of the other characters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just stuff that's not happy.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's not, you know, like, there was no Justine character, Scab.
Right.
You know, who, I don't want to spoil that relationship. Bomb that was dropped with character.
That was a twist, but I mean, even that, you can use that
because
the Mark Maron character is based off of the two guys that were like in charge of Glow and they meshed it together so well that you were like, he played them both.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they gave some of Bash's character some of those characteristics and the characteristics of the guy who actually created Glow, and that, who was just a rich kid who liked wrestling, and you know.
So Chris Lowell, who played Bash, is from Veronica Mars.
Okay.
And then he was on Private Practice as well.
Oh, okay.
And he's done other things here.
Yeah,
and there,
I've seen him in stuff, but I'm like,
he was in that last season.
He just cracked me up. He was one of the funnier parts of the whole thing.
He was Piz on Veronica Mars in the last season.
Oh, okay.
And, like, he was the love triangle between her and Logan. But anyway.
I have no idea.
Anywho. I loved his character in this.
Right. I mean, he's a decent actor. Like I said, I've seen him in other stuff. So I'm like, you know, oh yeah, that guy.
At the end,
he's one of the younger.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Exactly.
People.
He's the up and coming.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah, Mark Maron is one of those, like, guys where you're like, you know, before he became Mark Maron, that you know who he is. He was one of those. Oh yeah, I've seen that guy and stuff before.
So I remember Mark Maron from Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, I'm a big fan of stand-up.
Sure.
And he's one of my favorites. And, you know, it's weird thinking of him as a podcaster and not as a...
Yeah, and I think that's where he's
as
more...
a comedian?
Came out and, like, you know, people recognize him now because of the podcasting. Because, I mean, yeah, he does stuff for Comedy Central and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in stuff.
Right.
And it's like he's one of those, oh, it's like Adam Ferreira.
Yeah.
Who was on Nurse Jackie and did the American, what you call it? The Top car
Gear.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Top Gear. He was on American Top Gear. And it's like when he showed
up. He's on Rescue Me.
When he showed up on American Top Gear, I'm like, I know that guy from somewhere. And then I realized, oh, I've seen him in movies before.
Yeah. I've seen his Comedy Central Half Hour.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's like,
I mean,
you know, I
remember Marin as the guy with the long hair and like, you know, clean shaven and that stuff.
Yeah,
and like
the
neurotic comic who had the really cool mechanics of walking back and forth on stage, which was, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, nobody was doing kind of how he did it. And then he disappeared.
Him and Gallagher.
Well, Gallagher, he was a little different.
Well, I mean, Gallagher was very animated.
Yeah.
It's like the animated.
Well, no. Marin wasn't animated, though.
He
was paced. He was neurotic. Yeah. You know, like you had Stephen Wright at that time, who was, you know, very much over the microphone and talking like, you know.
Right.
And you know, you had Marin with the just the. so, yeah.
Which has,
Did you watch his show?
Some of that. No, I didn't watch his show.
It's on Netflix. It's well worth watching.
Yeah.
The Marin show. It's really, really good.
But I mean, the things that he used in his comedy, he uses in this character.
Yes.
And takes it over the top because, I mean, it's the 80s. Drugs are being used. I mean, there's a part where he like binges in the Bash's mom's mansion. Yeah. And it's like,
I love when he walks up to the band and he's like, hey, got any blow?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. You want some? So he's
was
a recovering.
Was that Elizabeth Perkins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and she was on Weeds. She's a Gingy Going character or actress. So Marin is a recovering addict.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, so, and like alcoholic and all that stuff. So, you know, it's really interesting to see him play this.
Wait a minute. A comedian from the 80s is a recovering addict?
But I'd be interested to talk to him and be like, you know, wondering, you know, did this bring anything up personally? You know,
I'm sure it did, but
like,
it's
how did he deal with fake cocaine and smoking and all that stuff? Where
he'd probably,
you know,
be like, it wasn't fake.
Yeah. Anyway,
no, I mean, he's lived that life, so him as the producer actually worked out really well. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed this show. I do hope it gets a second season.
Yeah.
It deserves it.
It absolutely does. I, you know, one funny thing is after watching this, we walked around and I was like, in Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, just everything was in Soviet Union.
She did that really good.
Oh, she was so
good. Well, and her character was great because she was trying to find her character. And playing all these weirdos and everything, Mark Maron would be like, who are you today?
Yeah.
Like, literally, she'd walk in with a different costume on, and he'd be like, who are you today?
Yeah. She was really unlikable, but at the same time, like, you just rooted for her.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. And if she wouldn't have had the guy at the hotel that was Russian, that... Yeah. That episode's hilarious when she goes to the brisk.
The adult brisk?
Yes.
I really like when they go, her and Betty, or what's her name? Debbie.
Yeah.
Go train with Carmen's brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. The finale is definitely the best episodes of the series.
Yeah. Hopefully we get a soundtrack.
Ooh, yeah, that's the first thing you texted to me. They need a soundtrack now.
Well, it's all the 80s classic stuff, so.
Right. I'm sure you can go on Spotify and find a playlist.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a different song at the beginning of every episode, which was really cool.
Definitely was fun.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, do you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
You know, I think this quick one, it was,
yeah.
We both loved it. Go watch the documentary. And then after you do all of that, go over to YouTube and watch the pilot.
Yeah.
The 44-minute pilot of actual Glow.
Oh, yeah. The original.
Is on YouTube.
Okay.
And it is cringeworthily fantastic.
It's just 80s crazy.
The raps, the introduction of the characters,
yeah,
the horrific dialogue. Yep. It's totally worth watching.
Well, for anybody in our age range, and
yeah,
we were talking to your wife about it before, mm-hmm, we came in. Glow was like watching Hee Haw,
yeah,
but it was wrestling Hee Haw, because there was like all the skits and stuff like that. And it's just like, that's what I remember, is all that craziness and a lot of pretty ladies. I mean, you know.
Gorgeous ladies, well, if you will.
You know, when you're in that age range as a young man, and
yeah,
there's a lot of. It was as entertaining as WWF was back then.
Right.
I mean, it really was. And I think that it got shut down because of Vince and other things. I think, well, that was part
the,
of it.
Well, the documentary like really shined a light on
Zadora.
The, yeah. Well, but the just the background with,
yeah,
the production team and
yeah,
the producers and the money people.
Yeah.
Like they had a problem. They had internal,
they had a lot of problems, but I remember Vince not being happy with this show.
Yeah. Well,
but that's Vince. So, you know.
What's Vince happy with?
Firing people.
You're fired.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, next week we're going to have a special guest,
yes,
right? Okay. Yes. So until then,
we'll make sure of that, but we should have a special guest.
Ooh. Who will it be?
We'll save it for next week.
All right. Well, go watch Glow. It's on Netflix right now. Then watch the documentary, and then go watch the pilot on,
yeah,
YouTube. It's, yeah, totally worth.
You probably can find the whole series on YouTube.
Now, it's only, there's only like four full,
oh, really,
episodes. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But the pilot is definitely on,
cool,
there. So
yeah. Now I'm going to have to go watch that.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I hope you enjoy Glow. We'll be back. We'll probably do a Spider-Man review as
at
part of
point
the next episode, or,
yeah,
or maybe we'll do. We'll resurrect the bonus episodes.
We'll probably cut it into next week's episode.
Alrighty. All right. Well, on that note, we'll see you guys later.
Have a good one.
This podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodor, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.